This is Beyond the Showroom, where you'll learn tips and techniques on the car buying process, how to get the best deal, what scams to watch out for, and much more. Here's your host and one of the foremost automotive business experts in the country, the Chevy Dude, Mike Davenport.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Showroom podcast. I am Mike Davenport and I am joined by my lovely wife, Andy.
Hi everyone.
How's your day been?
It's good.
Good. Glad to hear that. Excited for tonight?
Sure.
Good. Sure. You sound very positive. Let me tell you, you sound very, very positive.
I'm trying to keep it upbeat. And you know me, this is my positivity and sarcasm.
Sarcasm? You have sarcasm? I didn't know you had sarcasm. I've been married for 20... How long have you been married?
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
We just celebrated 20. I'll be 21 in June.
For 26. So we do our live stream every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time here on YouTube. And then every Wednesday morning, you can get the replay in audio version at 6 a.m. on your favorite podcasting platform. So just search Beyond the Showroom. And since this is a new podcast, it's slow getting up on it. So right now I know it's on Spotify and it's on Anchor. I'm seeing analytics from, what was the other one? I can't remember. I text my podcast guy and told him like, hey, we got analytics here, but I can't find it on this Coaster or Caster or something. I don't know all these podcast names.
I have no clue.
So,
like I said, I think I said it last week or whatever. I just get on my iPhone and hit the little podcast app.
Yeah,
and find podcasts that way.
Yeah, and the Apple is really difficult. They say they can take anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 weeks. So
I haven't even.
We'll see that. Not on there yet. I'll get an email. So I'm really, really excited about today's episode. We're going to talk about how many things, or we're going to talk about things in relation to pricing on cars. And that's like the number one biggest thing with buying a car is negotiating, getting the best price, right? So, and the one thing that probably takes away from the atmosphere of car buying is knowing that you get a good price. So if you got questions in regards to pricing, you can text in your questions to the 502-909-5192 number. And you can text those in at any time. And Miss Adrienne, Miss Dudette, as some people call her, Miss Chevy Dude, as she likes
Andy.
To be called, Andy.
I thought we were keeping my real name off okay. the podcast.
Did I say your real name?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, well.
You know, I don't.
It's not like we're trying to keep it a secret. Just, you know.
No, it's.
We have a reason. we don't want people saying, yo, Adrian.
Exactly.
Oh,
I am not a fan of Rocky.
So if you want to get your question answered, I guarantee you that we'll answer your question because we get a lot of them. We get hundreds and hundreds of texts. But if you use the super chat feature here on YouTube, you'll get it answered 100% regardless of what the topic is. But we do want to stay on topic. And we do need to pay the bills. We got some bills to pay here. This equipment that you see or listening to is expensive, and I had a good sponsor for this week, and that is Raid Shadow Legends. So if you check the description and of this podcast and on this live stream, you're going to see some links for this awesome RPG game. It's fun. I play it. You can join my clan, and if you're a new member, you get 200,000 silver and one free champion. So download that after the show. Here's what we're going to talk about on the podcasting tonight and the live stream. We're going to talk about pricing new cars for new and used. Exactly. We're going to pricing cars for new and used, how dealerships do it. We're going to talk about negotiating techniques when you're car shopping. We're going to talk about the tools you can use to get the best deal. And we're going to talk about the proper time to bring up pricing concerns with the dealership. And then how willing car dealers are to negotiate here in 2020. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw that somebody said they were canceling their C8 and clicking off the video because I don't like Rocky. That distracted me from your question. What was your question?
I said, what do you think about pricing and negotiating car deals? What do you think? You hear it sometimes since you're in the business.
Yeah, I have it pretty easy. I mean, I just turn to my salesman and tell me, buy this car.
You have a really bad salesman though, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, horrible salesperson.
Yes, he is, but he pays the bills and buys me the cars.
That's not a salesman. That's a sugar daddy.
Oh, well, then I need another sugar daddy and a salesman.
Oh, okay.
Can you refer me to a good salesman?
Yeah, text that in to 502-909-5192.
Well, that goes to me.
Yeah. You need a sugar daddy, right?
But I'm not a sugar daddy.
Oh.
And I'm not a salesman.
Oh. Well, I'm screwing everything all up.
Exactly.
So I'm really excited about this because this is a really good topic that I get asked questions on all of the time. I think the biggest one is, how do dealers come up with pricing new and used cars? Is it just out of the air? Do they want to make a certain amount of profit? What is it for? Do you know how they do it?
Well, I know they check the market.
They do. Do you know how they check the market?
It's a program.
It's a program. Good. We're going to talk a little bit more about that program.
I know the name of the program too.
Oh, what is it?
V-Auto.
Oh yeah, you got it. There's several programs out there. V-Auto is probably the most prominent one inside the car business. I don't know the other names, but that's definitely the one that a lot of dealerships use because really they were first. And I don't think it's real expensive to use these programs, but it does cost some money. And inside this program, they've done a really good job to make sure that dealerships really utilize it. You can pull Carfaxes in there. You can integrate Carfax in there. You can integrate your auction websites in there, all that stuff. Because when like our dealership is buying cars at auction, we can see what the values of those cars are right then and there. And there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I don't see or do or whatnot, because I don't do that part of it, but I understand it enough. I sell enough cars. I talk to the managers. I know what we're doing. But, so pricing new and used cars is definitely a technique and definitely something that is extremely important to the dealership. So why it's important to the dealership is because you could be anywhere in the world dressed however you like. I love to say this to people when I have them on the showroom floor, I'm talking to them on the phone or text or whatever, is you could be naked at 2 o'clock in the morning shopping for a car in your bedroom and seeing if it's a good price or not and decide, hey, I like this car, I'm going to move on. Or I don't like this car, I'm going to move on to the next one. Or I like this car, I'm going to interact with this dealership. So, you know, if it's sending in a link or a lead or texting them or texting an overnight thing, or if it's 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, talking to somebody live, whatever the case may be, making a phone call, all that good stuff. It's amazing that we have that technology nowadays because we've never had that before. How long have we had this around? Do you know?
How long have we had what around?
Like the technology of like texting dealers or chatting with dealers from their websites.
Gosh. I would say it's become more predominant in recent years, but it's probably been around for a good 8 to 10 years.
You're pretty dead on. So I like to use the 08 through 2010 economy crash that we came out of that and a whole lot of things happened. So, before 2008, if you were to walk into a dealership and say, hey, would you buy my car for cash? They would look at you and say, you're crazy, right? It was something that dealerships never would do. Even though they bought cars on a daily basis, they wouldn't buy a consumer's car off the lot or off the street. So what we call street purchase. So I don't know why. I just don't know why, but it just seemed as something happened after 2008. And we learned a lot from 2008 through 2010. That we basically straightened our act up in the car business and started going, doing more things. So, but that was a huge turn in social media in 2010. You know, you got to realize that YouTube in 2010 was only 5 years old. They're getting ready to turn 15 years old this year. YouTube is what we're on right now. And podcasting, I don't know how long podcasting has been around. Do you?
No.
I mean, we don't even really listen to podcasts much, so.
No, I haven't really gotten into it because when the time I'm listening to anything is when I'm working out and I need that upbeat music
right.
And not just somebody talking in my ear.
Yeah, I'm same way. So I'm like that a lot when I come home. Just I'd rather have some upbeat music rather than someone talking in my ear.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you play Fortnite and ignore me with headphones on?
So, you know, we have these pricing tools and these pricing tools tell us a lot. They tell us so much. And I say we as in car dealerships, the automotive industry, because we know that you could be anywhere, anytime. You could anywhere. And you imagine anywhere. Where did I buy our Tesla at?
Oh, well, you were on a plane.
Right. And how did we buy it through? What communication were we using?
You were messaging
through Snapchat, right?
Oh, you and I were Snapchatting. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I mean, I was 40,000 feet in the air and I get this Snapchat about this Tesla that, hey, look what you guys just took in on trade. I want it. Okay, tell me about it. What's the deal? And then I text the...
Why did I have to tell you anything about it?
I don't know. Just tell me. It was just like, you just had to tell me to buy it, right?
Exactly.
So then I text the general manager at that store, because this was at our Subaru store. And I text him and I say, hey, listen, I want to buy that Tesla. I did this at 40,000 feet in the air on a phone. This is, was it 2018? Is that when we did about that?
2 years ago. Yeah,
2018, 2017.
Something like that.
Yeah. So you know, that's just amazing technology that we have that. Well, we have that going out to the consumers as well to make it easy for everybody. And I mentioned the V Auto, and I had a couple examples here that I pulled from work, and I want to show you this on the screen. This is an Audi TT that we have in stock, and this is the back end tool of this 2016 Audi TT that we have in stock. So over on the right hand side, and for the people that are listening to this, I'll just kind of try to visualize this with you. But over on the right hand side, we have the market average odometer of 25,618, and then over in the top left hand corner, you can see our odometer is 49,950. I know this car, it's actually got 50,000, like 12 miles on it now, because we've had a couple test drives. And you can see our list price there of 24,610. So if you look more over to the right for the people that are watching this on YouTube, you can see distance says all. This means that we are searching the entire country for this car. This is a rare car, not a rare car, but just not a popular car out there. It's not a huge amount of them out there. And down here, you see that little speedometer for the people on the live stream, and it's we're at 89%. So, and you can see it goes all the way up to 120%. And then over on the right-hand side, you see ranking. It says price rank, V rank. So price rank, we're down there about two, number one. I think we're number two there. And then V rank, we're number three on. And what this does is tell us where we rank, in this case, in the country for this pricing of this car. And the 89% of the market adjustment, this is how I like to explain it to new people. So 89% means if everyone is selling a candy bar for $1, we're selling that same candy bar for 89 cents. So we're 21% below the average market on this car. But we've got some issues with this car. We're higher mileage than the average mileage out there.
You also have a little man math going on there.
That, what would I say?
You said 21%, it's 11%.
Oh, 11%, yeah.
a little man math going on.
It's not man math. It's yes, it public, is. It's public school no, math. Yeah.
It's men have a problem with math.
So I mean, we're selling this 89% of the market. So we're number two price in the country. So if you were to call us and say, hey, listen, I want $3,000 off the price of the car, I'm going to tell you no, because I already know, right? Especially if you're calling from Florida or California or wherever, if you're calling from a lot farther away. So that's just kind of one example on it. So I wanted to kind of show something more with what I'm showing. So I'm going to pull up this 2017 Chevy Traverse 2LT. And same kind of stuff here. You can see we're sitting right at 100% of the market, right there at the 6 o'clock position on it. We're right at 99% of the market, and we're 100 miles out. 35,000 miles, the average market odometer is 39,000, so we're kind of dead on. So there's a lot of cars out there like this. It looks like there's 180 Traverse out there for 2017, and then over on that far left-hand corner, you can kind of see that we're dropping this down. Okay, well, we want to engage this with a 2LT car, because this is a 2LT car. It's not fair to say, hey, I want this the LTZ, which is the higher trim level. It's not fair to do a 1LT or a LS, because that is a lower trim level. So we want to gauge what the pricing is on that. So, and then maybe a couple other minor things. We don't want to get like really heavy into to that, because you can manipulate that really, really well, and you can really get some crazy things going if you were to see that. And you want to do yourself justice when you're selling these cars. You don't want to manipulate it stuff so that way it's really high or really low. You want to have less options in there. You don't want to start putting, hey, I've got a DVD player, I've got this, I got that. And then you start looking at vehicles that don't have DVD players. So if there's only five out there with DVDs, that's not a good thing to start doing. You want to kind of just like, hey, listen, I got 2017. I have a 2LT. Let's just look at that, because that's really about what we're looking at. And I always tell everybody there's kind of like five things, maybe six things that you look at home looking at a used car. And that would be the year, the make, the model, the color, the mileage, and then the price. So with that being said, Miss Chevy Dude, yo, Adrian, what is the number one question asked by consumers when they call the dealership?
Hey, I have this one because you've asked me this before.
Yes, I have. I was testing you.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
I am testing you. Yes.
You're asking for it tonight. The question asked when calling into a dealership or texting, is the car available?
Yay, that you're absolutely right. So the reason that is because you at home can look at all sorts of third-party software to judge if this is a good deal or not. Car Gurus is the number one, I think, company out there. What do you think? Opinions? I know you're not on that stuff.
Cars.com, I think, is what I tend to go to if I'm looking up something. Auto Trader.
So Cars.com is owned by the number one conglomerate in the world for cars. They're owned by Cox Automotive. And Cox Automotive owns the number one, auction? I'm drawing a blank. The number one auction house in the world, Manheim. They own Kelley Blue Book. I used to work for a company called Kelley, and they always assumed Mike Kelley owned Kelley Blue Book, and we were making the numbers up to benefit us, which was always hilarious back in the day. So you can do these, you can sit there and look at all this stuff and decide that, hey, I want to look at Car Gurus. I want to look at Kelley Blue Book. I want to look at, you know, Auto Trader, True Car, all that stuff, and decide that if I'm going to go further on this. And one step further is Car Gurus will tell you, and pretty much everybody nowadays will tell you that if it's a good price or a bad price. And if you go to Car Gurus, it tells you right away. And some dealers will put on there that their Car Gurus price is good or bad or whatever. That way you don't have to go out to a third party website and you're just using their website. So that's kind of important as well.
I was going to say, I do like the fair deal, good deal, you know, bad deal type of thing. I don't remember which website does it, because I've looked at so many when I'm searching for a car for me.
You're searching for cars?
Of course. And not on your lot.
So it's kind of nice to have that gauge, because I would have to say that most consumers just want a fair deal. They want to be treated fairly, right? You can say on the comments on the live stream, you can say, I mean, do you just want to be treated fairly and professionally when buying a car?
Yes, but at the same time, people want to feel that they got a good deal and not ripped off. Right. So those kind of go hand in hand, you know. If they feel that they were treated properly and everything, they may feel that they've gotten a great deal. But if you feel like you got treated poorly, then, you know, you're going to not feel so good.
Right. So you brought up something. I like this. I like this.
What did I bring up?
You brought up you want to feel like you get a good deal. How do you know you get a good deal? What's the definition of good deal? you know where I'm going with this,
I know,
right?
Where you're going, okay. And I know what your and you can, spiel you can, is, but I can, don't remember how you put the word or, you know.
No, you can, if you know the answer, say the answer.
No, because I don't remember the words.
What do you think it is?
The wording you use.
let's hear what you say.
No, I'm not even going there.
I put you on the blank. So yeah, you know, a good deal, a great deal, I got the best deal. That's emotional, right? And there's no definition for good deal in the dictionary. Google good deal, right? It's conjecture. It doesn't tell you anything. It's not in the dictionary. It's not anything out there. It's a feeling. Now I'm drawing a blank. I said emotion.
You put yourself on the spot.
It's perceived value. right? So one thing that we're taught in the car business is to exceed the perceived value of the vehicle with the customer, and they'll buy every time. So if I show you everything about this car and your value expectations are right here, and I show you everything and you're like, oh, I didn't know this, I didn't know that, blah, 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 blah. And now your exceed value has exceeded the price of this car based off of our interactions. It's an easy transaction. It's an easy transition into a buyer of that car. So it's really, really important to understand everything from sales and from a consumer side point. So when people are talking about, don't ever answer questions from a salesperson, you can answer the questions, but you got to understand that to make sure you're dealing with a salesperson who's got your best interest in mind. If they don't have their best interest in mind, yeah, definitely don't answer those questions. It's kind of interesting when people are like, hey, I just want a good deal. It's a made up term. It doesn't exist. But in reality, okay, let's talk about reality here, about what we perceive a good deal is. You just want to be treated fairly. You want to be able to build that relationship with that dealership. You want to be able to go out there and talk with somebody and have somebody's back. I just had a conversation with a customer today. Our new truck manager, Bill, was talking to somebody about a C7, and he had a problem with the C7. And I said, listen, I don't want to contradict anything that he said, but I'm sure you don't want to go through this process of a lemon law buyback. Let's figure this out. You do whatever you want. It's your car. But we don't have any 2019 cars to give you. So if you do a lemon law buyback, you're going to be walking, right? Not really going to be walking, but he's not going to have a Corvette to drive. I said, how long have you had this car? I know the customer, right? I don't know him, but I recognize him, right? Super nice guy, comes in every once in a while, jokes around, talks, stuff like that. And, you know, so I'm sitting there talking to him. He says, yeah, I don't want to deal that. So I'm like, listen, you need to go through the process of service just a little bit more. And that's the relationship that you really want to have with customers, is when a problem happens that they can trust you when you're not selling them something. And you know me, I'll always tell somebody, you don't want to buy that. You don't want to go through that, right? That's just the way I am. There's not very many salespeople out there like that, but that's the way I am.
Okay. Are we going to get to a few questions?
We can do a question.
Okay. Well, most of our questions are not topic related coming in, and not going to respond to them or ask them on.
Unless it's a super chat.
Well, yeah. And those type of questions might have to be super chats.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So at the beginning, somebody put in the comments, how much should you negotiate the price down on a vehicle?
It all depends, right? So we're going to actually talk about that next. That was the next.
Well, then out of the five things, go ahead.
So negotiating techniques when shopping for a car. So you want to do your research, right? And it's tough. You can't get into, and many car dealers will do this, you can't get into like minor details, right? The minor details don't always go into selling a car or buying a car. You know, if like, hey, this dealer down the street has got the same car, and you know, the dealership's going to be like, has it got the same miles? Has it got this? And next thing you know, you guys are just battling back and forth. It's not a professional experience. It's not a positive negotiating experience. So, negotiating techniques need to come with some credence, with some value, with some, you know, hey, listen, you guys have had this car for 10 days. Can you help me out just a little bit? You know, you guys are at a fair deal. What would it take for me to be on CarGurus at a good deal? Would $500 work? Would $1,000 work? You know, stuff like that. And so that's the time to do it. And one of my things I wanted to talk about was bringing up the proper time to bring those concerns up, pricing concerns. If the car you think's priced too high, if you want to talk about how the price is too low, I mean, I'll be more than happy to take those customers. Oh, Mike, your car is $1,000 too low. I want to pay you $1,000 more. Perfect. Thanks. We'll take it.
It never happens.
Never happened. hasn't happened in 20 years. I never heard two things. Your price is too low and you gave me way too much money for my trade.
That's a whole nother topic, babe.
Yep. So the proper time to bring up the purchase price of the trade to negotiate is literally wait till they get all the numbers around for you. Don't bring it up too early. My analogy, I love using this analogy, which I've had to clean the analogy up for broadcast because I used a different analogy before I decided to talk about it on air. But if you see this beautiful person that you're attracted to anywhere in the world, in a bar, at a basketball game, football game, you walk them by the street and you turn around and you want to approach them, you don't walk up to them and say, "Hey, I'm Mike. You want to get married?"
No, you ask for their phone number and get denied.
Yes, I know. And that's the salesman in me. I asked multiple times until I got it.
Yeah.
So she, when I met her, we met the second week of high school in 1992, and some friends introduced us. And they're like, "Yo, get her phone number, get her phone number." And I asked her for her phone number, and she told me no. And I'm like, "Oh man, I was let down. I was a bummer. You know, I just met this girl." And so I told the friends, and they're like, "You didn't have a pen and a paper." You know, it's like, so I run to the concession stand. We're at a football game, and run to the concession stand. Like, "Listen, I need to borrow a pen and a piece of paper." They're like, "No, we're not going to give it to you." I'm like, no, seriously, I'll bring it back. I promise. Here's my name. Here's my student ID. So I walk back and I got my pen and paper, and I'm like, "What's your phone number?" And she gave it to me. And here only we are 26 because, later.
Only because those same friends were pressuring me to give you my phone number.
I know. It's great. Buyer's helpers, right?
I guess. Little did we know that.
Three kids,
yeah.
26 years.
We'd still be together.
You still don't have a job?
Hey.
That pays.
You're my sugar daddy. Oh, wait, I still need one of those.
Yeah, I need a sugar mama.
No.
Now I can't have a sugar mama? No. Oh, man, this is no fun. So, you know, bring up the pricing of the car once you see all the numbers. So that way, if you got a trade in or whatever and whatnot, that you just see everything in print and writing. You guys know that, you know, I've talked about the worksheets and stuff like that, and I'll put it in the comment section of the podcast and on the live stream here. I'll put that down in the description after the show here on the live stream. But I have these worksheets that you can use to utilize to make sure that you get everything done right and the dealership shows you everything right. That way, if they bring a Foursquare out, you can be like, wrong. This is what I need. I need price. I need list price. I need discounts. I need rebates. I need trade value. Oh, by the way, would you write me a check for that if I don't trade it here? You know, if I don't buy a car from you, would you write me a check? You know, it's all that stuff. So, but you want to make sure you get all the pricing before you start negotiating, because if you start negotiating the bottom line, which is what you always need to do, you never negotiate payment, you always negotiate bottom line, you go out there and get all the facts, and then you can negotiate effectively, and it's going to allow you to get the best deal, right? Here we are, our best deal, our good deals scenario to do that. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was tools you can use to get the best deals. And I kind of mentioned CarGuru. Does anybody have any questions on pricing that you've got that we can hit on those three subjects that we've talked about?
Well, we've had somebody ask about trading in a lease vehicle if you still get a tax credit. And I don't know if that pertains to every state. I know in Kentucky, they do sales tax credit on vehicles traded in.
Nope. So it's a good question. And I'm glad.
Specifically talking lease.
Oh, start backpedaling.
No,
start backpedaling.
I'm just saying that was the question, but I'm saying not every state is going to offer tax credits, et cetera.
When she's wrong, she blames me.
Yep.
So if you have a lease, typically speaking, for the most of the states that I know, you do not get any type of tax credit on a lease because you didn't pay sales tax on your lease. You only paid tax on the payment, which is a big advantage for leasing. So with that being said, if you trade that in, you're not going to get any tax credit. You got to pay full tax on whatever you pay tax on in your state. Kentucky, you pay sales tax after rebates. Indiana, you pay sales tax before rebates. So every state's different. And with that being said, most of the time, you can't really trade a lease in because it's not advantageous to you. I just had this conversation with a gentleman down in Florida over the last couple of days. Super, super nice guy. He's got a Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland Edition. He's trying to buy a Silverado. And he called me up and we were talking, and he we're looking about 24,000-25,000 what his trade was worth, but his payoff was like 27,000. His payoff was his, if he bought it, was all the way 27 with sales tax. So it's like, well, there's no reason to do that. I mean, that's, you're going in the hole for something you have, you don't have obligations to, you have options for. So with that being said, you can just walk away from it. Well, he thinks he can sell it for 29 grand. So after sales tax, he's less than 27,000. So he can probably make 2 grand on this vehicle. And that's when you kind of, it's very rare for that to happen. So a lot of times when you want to trade in a lease, your lease is going to have negative equity. So you just walk away from it. So when you do a lease, you have a lot of options, but the only obligation, only obligations that you have with a lease is to take care of the car, to keep it in, you know, normal wear and tear usage, and make every single payment. That's your obligation on a lease. If you do a 36 month lease, you are obligated to pay 36 payments. If you do 24, you do 24. On a purchase, you're obligated to pay the entire loan off. If you borrow 30 grand, you have to pay 30 grand back to the bank. It's no questions asked. So that's the advantage of leasing. But yeah, so typically speaking, leasing is not going to get you a tax credit if you trade it in. You can trade it in, so that way if you like went over a mileage or something like that, that you could get out of it and kind of like convert it to a purchase and trade it in or whatever. It all happens on one fell swoop. It's not anything that you have to worry about.
Okay. I don't even remember what 3 topics now you were.
We've went over pricing, how people price new and used cars, negotiating techniques, proper time to bring up pricing concerns, and kind of touched on a little bit about the tools you can use to get the best deal.
Okay. So, let's see. There's so many different questions, and not really any of them pertain to exactly that stuff. So I'm just going to start asking questions. Tips on trading in an upside down vehicle.
Just depends on how upside down. So I got a gentleman who's got like 3 grand upside down in a vehicle. And every time you trade in an upside down car, you're just burying yourself. That's a huge term in the industry. You're burying yourself in your new vehicle. So
the second part to that question, does the new factory rebates help bury that negative equity?
Yes and no. With that, you're still enrolling negative equity over and you're buying a depreciating asset. So the old adage is you pull off the lot, you lose X amount of percent. I don't know what that percent is, 20%, 10%, whatever. It's not because of what the dealers have done. It's strictly because you're buying a depreciating asset. And when you take delivery of that car and you title the car, you're taking the advantage away from a new car buyer, full warranty, all that good stuff, no miles on the car, stuff like that. So with that being said, that's why the cars depreciate. Then you go out to the used car market and the person selling that car, if it's a private individual, if it's a dealer, whoever, they have to market that against the new cars if you want to get rid of it in 6 months, a year, or whatever, because then you're so close to the value of a new car. It's like, well, I'll just go to a new car rather than buying a used car, you know, that somebody else got rid of for whatever reason. And so that's kind of the thing. What was the first part of that question? I forgot.
Just tips on negotiating and upside down.
Yeah, I gotcha. So the, you know, with tips on negotiating, I mean, it's not really anybody's fault on what the vehicle is, because it's all about the market. And so that's on that. But if you're trading stuff in, you just got to realize, you know it. But if you're trading it in, the more money you can put down, the better it is. So Michael King just threw in a super chat. If I'm looking to buy a car later this year, fourth quarter, when should I start talking with the dealership over emails, and when should I first visit? So my recommendation is 90 days before you want to make a purchase. And I wouldn't go into the dealership before 30 days. And the reason why I say that, because a lot changes over time. So, but you're going to do your research 6 months, 9 months, a year before. I don't remember the stats, but I think the stats go into, you know, most people are doing research for 9 months, and then when they go to a dealership, they're within 3 days of making a purchase. So I think within 30 days of doing it, go to the dealership within 30 days and then make your decision at that point. So, and the more you do, the harder it gets. I have a client, really, really sweet lady, business owner here in Louisville. Never met her. Just walked in on a busy Saturday and I started talking to her. And she's utterly confused now because she's been doing too much research. So you just got to be careful with that too. Too much research can be a hindrance. And, you know, she's looking at her Chevy Traverse, which is probably the right car for her wants and needs. And I've told her that. But she's also looking at a Audi Q7, which has got a lot less room for her needs. She needs this third-row passenger vehicle, not because the hauling people, because she's hauling things and she doesn't want to buy a truck for her. She's a interior decorator and stuff like that. So I think 90 days, start talking to dealers, tell them you're 90 days out, be upfront. You're like, hey, I think I'm just a few months out, but I just want to get some general information. And they'll probably have a 90-day follow-up schedule with you. And that can kind of tell you which dealer wants to earn your business as well. And then, yeah, I don't think you need to go in the dealership until you're ready to buy, or, you know, within 30 days of buying, because they're gonna want to sell you a car. You're not walking in there to buy milk. You're not walking in there to buy bread. You're walking in there to buy a car, and that's their job. So let's get into tools you can use to get the best deal. So those tools are extremely important to do up front. So since somebody brought up negative equity, we want to talk about that a little bit. You know, if you do have a trade, don't just go to Kelly Blue Book. You know, Kelly Blue Book is evil when it comes to pricing. I'm not saying anything negative about Kelly Blue Book. For whatever reason, Kelly Blue Book just does not give realistic numbers when it comes to trade. They're doing better, but it's just not there.
Well, and you're going into somebody else's question right here. They're asking about, do dealers use Kelly Blue Book or NADA?
So we use a lot. We use a lot of books. We use about 10 or 15 books. And the reason we do is because there's so much data out there, but we really go off of live market data just based off of, like if you're buying a stock, you know, you look at live market data. So when you're at home doing these, using these tools, you want to look at Kelly Blue Book. If you have a trade-in, what I like to do is use their instant cash offer. You can also go to TrueCar and get their instant cash offer. And those two tools right there for trade-ins are probably the best tools. I use the TrueCar on my personal website. So if you go to ChevyDude.com and go to what's my trade worth, it's going to tell you what your trade's worth, and it's dead on, dead on. It's always right. And so that's going to give you a really good tool and a really good tip on what your trade's worth. As far as when you're shopping for new and used cars, I've done the video on fake pricing scams, fake car prices on the internet, because a lot of dealers are doing some goofy things with that. So I showed you that V-Auto screen. You know, I can dial this down and really, you know, show a consumer that I'm at the best price because I put way too many options in there, right? I can really fool the system to do that, which is borderline fraudulent, you know. It's definitely not ethical by any means. So you don't want to get too specific because it's manipulating the numbers. You want to do that with yourself as well, because you just want to look at good values. NADA, never look at NADA. NADA is absolutely not worth anything for values when it comes to buying a car and trading for a car. And I love it when people walk into the dealership and like, well, NADA said it's worth this. Excellent. You want to look at NADA, what my car is worth, and you're going to pay me that? And all of a sudden they back up. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to pay what NADA says. Then why are you negotiating NADA on your trade, right? So again, nothing negative, nothing condescending to the person, just kind of having some fun with the conversation that we're having here. But that's, you got to kind of look at that way. So like I said, for trade-in, Kelly Blue Book, instant cash offer, not just Kelly Blue Book, but instant cash offer, and then TrueCar's instant cash offer will help you on your trade-in to know exactly what it's worth when you're going to a dealership. So, and use your VIN numbers on those too, by the way. Don't just drop down that I got a 2012 Chevy Avalanche, boom, you know, use your VIN numbers because it's going to make it much, much better. So techniques on the new and used car side, TrueCar is another good one. I know a lot of people bash TrueCar, but you have to do like 13 steps to get a TrueCar price to inquiry to a dealer. So it's not like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. So it's always funny that when someone says they're a TrueCar lead and they contacted the dealership, it's like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. you had to do 13 different things in order to put your information into us. And so we kind of chuckle a little bit because whatever reason they did all that and they're like, oh, I don't want to talk to a dealer, or they've been called by 5 dealers already. And it's just bombarded them, which I understand that completely as well. So, you look at NADA, or excuse me, look at NADA. So, Car Gurus. You can look at Edmunds is okay. Not the best, but Car Gurus, cars.com, are some of the best ones to get pricing tools. And then as far as new car deals, I see Benjamin put in a super chat. We're going to get to that. As far as new car deals, look at dealerships' websites. That's what you want to look at. Go to the dealerships' websites that you're looking at that's got the car that you want and compare dealership to dealership to dealership. Because again, it could be 2 o'clock in the morning, you're naked in bed looking at car deals, and we know that, and we want you to know that we have the best deal on the market so that way we can get it. So Benjamin threw in a super chat asking, I have a 1988 K1500 OBS with 129,000 miles. Ooh, really low miles. Do dealers care about low mileage old trucks? What brings more value with older trucks? No, they don't. That truck right there. So if that truck doesn't have rust and it's a good truck, like, you know, obviously I got a K1500 sitting up in my driveway right now. That truck to a dealer is worth $250. But you and I both know that if that, again, good condition truck, I wouldn't sell my truck. If I sold my truck today, I wouldn't sell it for less than $6,000. My 1995 K1500, that's in great shape, no rust. That I would, if somebody offered me $5,900 for it, I'd be like, no, $6,000. That's the number, because they're so hard to get a hold of. And that 5.7 liter engine is bulletproof. So to dealers, your truck means nothing to them. It's a $250 truck. Maybe they sell it for $2,000, right? So, but that's definitely a truck that you'd want to put on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. And if it's in good shape, $3,000, $2,000, $2,500, somewhere right around there. I don't know the condition of it. I was talking value on my truck because I know my truck. I know my truck doesn't have any oil leaks. I know my truck's got a spray and bed liner. Well, I guess it does. I forgot about that. I got to get that checked out. Hopefully the Corvette's here and we can just leave that at service. So yeah, that's the thing on the K1500. Thanks for the super chat. Appreciate it.
Okay. Several various questions, but all along the same lines, have to do with dealerships having different pricing for the exact same car. So let's talk new cars.
Yep.
Why would a dealership have, say, a car price to invoice versus MSRP?
So if a car dealership's got something priced to MSRP, I wouldn't ever shop at that car dealership ever. I mean, they're just going to play games up the gate, and they're probably going to get there and they got a dealer, additional dealer markups or additional dealer fees. They got the ripoff sticker on their cars. If they're not showing a discounted price on their website, I wouldn't even shop them. So why they're showing different costs is just based off of their internal pricing models. I don't know what dealerships do as far as their internal pricing models. I know what Chevy dealerships do around us, but I don't pay attention to our GMC store or the GMC store that's right there next to us. I don't pay attention to the Honda store or anything like that. I pay attention to my brand. And I just was working a deal on a Hyundai Palisade, $100 discount. That was it. That's all they're like, we can't keep these things in stock. We're going to discount $100. That's it.
Yeah. So, and as you're talking about that, somebody said that they bought one for invoice and half of holdback a few weeks ago. And then their friend tried to get the same deal and was told no deal.
Really? It's based off of each dealer. And, I don't know the situation, so there could be different situations there or whatever. So that's what's bad about the car dealership is your friend can get the good deal and you don't. And it could be just your techniques of negotiating. So and that's why our dealership, which I'm proud to work for our dealership, absolutely love our owners. Our owners have my back on everything, which is super nice. They've proven that time and time again with me being on social media and some of the goofiness that happens offline with phone calls and stuff like that. So, but that's what's bad about it. Everybody just wants a fair deal, like I said at the beginning. So with that being said, why couldn't that guy get the same deal as his buddy did? Especially because I'm sure his buddy brought up that, hey, so-and-so is just in here and he got this same deal. Why can't I get the same deal, right? You would expect that.
Exactly.
Especially out of a referral, right? Because you're like, hey, John Smith sat there and told me to come in here.
It's like if I see a shirt that I like and my friend's like, oh, I love that shirt. Hey, I just got it for 50% off at such and such store. And, you know, a couple days later they go and it's no longer on sale. I mean,
that's just part of the sale process, right?
That is. But it's still, you just kind of.
But if you were to walk in 10 minutes later and say, hey, my buddy just bought this shirt for 50% off. And is it still 50% off? Well, it is, but not for you. Right. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying when that happens. So it's really important, I think, as a dealership to treat everybody right, treat everybody fair, which again, this podcast is not to promote Bachmann Chevrolet. It's not promote me to car sales. It's to show you techniques and tips on doing the right thing when you're out buying a car, when you're not buying a car from me. Right. I mean, I don't really want you to call me to buy a car. I'm so busy right now. I just can't take clients. It's crazy. I hate this. I made 123 phone calls. Today's Tuesday, yesterday, Monday, 123 phone calls yesterday.
And not one of them to me.
Not one of you. Yeah. I didn't text you all day. Right. I mean, no. I text you on the way home. I'm like, oh, whoops. I missed your text message. 123 phone calls yesterday. Either made or received. It was crazy. Absolutely nuts day. And that's normal for me. That's a normal day for me. But yeah, so the reason why sometimes is just their internal pricing models of why one dealership A, dealership B have different pricing. And that's when you can kind of communicate on the phone with the dealership or through email or text and like, hey, listen, dealership A has got a very similar truck. You know, the MSRP is $200 off, but they got $6,000 total discount. You've only got three. Can you match their $6,000 off? And that's kind of a way you can talk to them and talk about them is, hey, I just want the same value off. I don't need the same price because the MSRPs aren't the same. I just want the same discount and same fees. And you just got to make sure that dealership A and dealership B are honest and ethical in their pricing. And that's where my dealership pricing scam video comes into play, that they show fake prices.
Why don't you pop up our texting number again? Somebody just hopped on and was wondering the best way to ask a question.
Right there, 502-909-5192. Did okay. I say that right? I got my small screen up. 502-909-5192 to text in a question.
We, again, you know, you kind of just started answering a lot of questions have been all on the same lines. You know, somebody said, why do some dealers have $10,000 off Silverados and some charge MSRP? You know, we have, why do some dealers do market adjusted pricing and others just sell at cost for the same car?
Yeah, that's kind of what I just said, that it's just based off of their internal model. So, you know, the dealer principal, you know, he or she pretty much tells the managers how to run things. But a lot of the decisions are made by management that they just don't have a clue sometimes. You know, I'm not, again, I don't bash anybody. I love everybody. You know, if somebody was a hater on me and they walked into my house right now or walked into my dealership, I'd just shake their hand like, hey, how you doing? And move on. I wouldn't like, oh, yeah, I saw you make that negative comment on me. I don't care about stuff like that. You know, I'm more interested in helping people. I'm more interested in taking care of people because that typically is returned very, very easily. So, you know, but that's, you know, that's just the way it is. It's just goofy that, you know, I can walk into one manager who's maybe having a bad day and he won't do something for me. And I go to the other manager an hour later, that's just having a normal day or a great day. And I ask the same question and I get exactly what I want, you know, and it's just goofy like that. It just happens. So, a lot of times the pricing just happens for management and, you know, they got a chip on their shoulder, they got an ego and, you know, you can't deal with people with egos and whatnot. Like I always, my whole life, I've had a chip on my shoulder. You know, it's not a negative chip on my shoulder. I just want to be professional and be successful. And I want to, you know, prove everybody wrong. You know, I got fired from a dealership and, you know, and now here I am. And I guarantee you, they're like, man, I wish we would have keep him. You know, I wish we wouldn't have fired him because now I've worked my ass off to, you know, get where I'm at and didn't let anybody bring me down or anybody take me down. And then I moved down here and I worked for a dealership for 2 years and they didn't respect me and they lied to me and they wanted to do this and that. And you know, now I'm working for a dealership for the last 10 years and they're like, yeah, you're cool. Do whatever you want. you're happy. We're happy. You're making sales. You're top sales guy, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, and then negative things happen. They're like, okay, well, thanks for letting us know. And Ryan Bachman said today that I don't want to know what everything you're doing. Just you make good decisions. Just do it. Make us proud. Bring us in the customers. Treat us right. You know, he's like, I don't want to know every video you make or every concept you're thinking of or whatever. 99.9% of the time, everything you put out there is dead on and it's positive and it's professional. And if somebody's got a problem with it, we just can't handle it. We just have to deal with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, they always say when one door closes, another one opens and everything. But let's get back on task.
Yes.
Okay. So a couple questions have came in around negotiating a price on a new car that was ordered. And then somebody else asked if dealers, let me find that question, how dealers feel about custom orders compared to buying off the lot. So it's, these questions go hand in hand right here.
So personally, custom orders, I could care less about. If you want to custom order something, sweet. If you are trying to custom order a Silverado because you want a bucket seat rather than the only thing we have with bench, like, let me just locate it, right? I can locate it. I know I got that video out there that the Georgia dealership, you know, sold us a wrecked truck and we didn't know. Well, we've made precautions into that. Right. And that's such a low risk to happen. But you know, you can talk with your salesman and just do it. But as far as pricing on a special order vehicle, you know, I price, my dealership prices everything at invoice or below. You know, so, like I had a guy today that texted me from Florida and he wanted a Tahoe that we didn't have. And I'm like, I can get you a Tahoe. That's pretty easy, but it's limited. 2021s are already being built. 2021s are starting to be built this month. And I said, so we need to hurry, you know? And so I just walked into the general sales manager and said, hey, how do you want me to price this Tahoe from another dealer? And he says $500 over invoice. And we probably have to buy that at what in General Motors terms is pay $310, which is we don't get any holdback because we get it from another dealer. So we literally going to make $500 on this car and to go get it and drive and stuff like that. I don't charge anybody to go get cars. So literally we're going to make $500 or less on this car deal. They're going to pay me $100 to sell the car. So now you're less than $400 to sell a $75,000 Tahoe. I think that's fair. So if it was in stock, could you get a little bit better deal? Absolutely. Because it's in stock. But what I do on orders is we talk about the pricing. I don't negotiate with my customers. I'm like, here's the price. That's it. To kind of take it or leave it, right? Not rudely, not inappropriately, not unprofessional, but it's like, listen, I'm busy. You're busy. You're here for a reason. You want to deal with me because all my clients are either they know me or they're previous customers or the referrals. So I just cut to the chase and get things done. And most of the times people appreciate that. They want to cut to the chase. So I tell them this is what it is. And then in any rebates that are available are at time of delivery. So I just did a Duramax 3.0 liter half ton truck. So that customer got a $6,200 better deal from when we ordered his truck on the last day of December of 2019, it was December 30th. I ordered that truck for him and, he got $6,200 in rebates that, you know, we didn't know what the rebates were going to be the day he picked it up. So I'm like, okay, his name is Glenn. I'm like, let me check the rebates, $6,250. So your price is this. He's like, cool. Awesome. Because he already knew everything. It was just like, hey, this is the price and it's $6,250 less now. Okay, cool. You know, he was budgeting for the higher price. Because I always tell everybody, if there's no rebates, there's no rebates. And I know the market, I know the trucks, there's not going to be no rebates on a Silverado. But I want to prepare everybody for the worst case scenario. I don't want to prepare people for best case scenario and then have to backpedal when they got their dream truck or the truck that they worked so hard to get a hold of. And
right. Okay. So I'm combining some questions here once again. But these two questions pertain to the same, relatively the same thing. What's a reasonable percentage to expect to negotiate off of invoice? And then somebody asked if invoice price is the real invoice price.
So the average new car dealer makes 2% net profit. Net. Do you hear me? Net, 2% net profit. That's what the average dealer is. And I know people are like, you're lying, you're making that up. Go Google it. Just Google it. That's all I got to say. Just average new car profit. So before I got on the show, I Googled what the average used car dealer profit was. And like, it was like $56 from 2014. I'm like, holy crap. And, but again, that's over millions of cars sold, right? So the margins on cars is lower and lower and lower every single year. So, invoice price is invoice price. I know back in the 80s, you know, I wasn't selling cars back then. I was barely out of diapers, but, people would always talk about, are you laughing at me or laughing at a text?
I'm laughing at you.
Okay, good. Are you laughing with me or laughing at me?
At you.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Laughing at me. I'll write that down. So, you know, there was like, oh, there's people in the back making up fake invoices. I don't know if that was true or not, but it's there. I've never seen it in 20 years of selling cars. So yes, the real invoice is the real invoice, but there are dealer profits built into those invoices. When it comes time to, you know, we got the holdback and stuff like that. But like my dealership, if you're buying like a Silverado for me, you're getting holdback already. I mean, we just have to be super aggressive based off of our market, and we're giving up holdback without you asking, because that's just our market. So we're working to make back our money from the manufacturer over volume. So, but also, a reasonable, you know, just depends on the car, you know, 2020 C8, zero, Silverado, you know, you probably going to have $3,000 or $4,000 in discounts and $5,000 or $6,000 in rebates. But that goes into the last thing I'm going to talk about on here. We'll ask questions, hold that question. But, you know,
question
how
had to do with what we were talking about.
Okay. My last thing. Okay. Well, let's do this. My last thing that I wanted to talk about in this podcast and live stream was how willing are car dealers to negotiate in 2020. That's a really good topic. How willing are they to negotiate? I don't negotiate. I'm dead on. I had a customer in here the other day about Corvette. I'm like, here's where I'm at. Well, other dealers are doing this. I understand. But at 10% off MSRP, that's a $100 loser deal. That's a hold back and everything. And my dealership's not willing to take anything less than that. So, again, not a jerk comment. I'm not being a jerk when I say this. I'm just being straightforward, which, again, my clients seem to appreciate. And I know YouTube world, they may start roasting me, but that's just what it is. I'm a very, very straightforward person, kind of black and white when it comes to it, because I don't want to be there 4 hours with someone. If you need to be there for 4 hours, no problem. I'll spend all the time in the world with you to help you make a good, well-informed decision. But I'm not going to drag you around the dealership for 4 hours. Most people don't want that. So most dealerships, if they're good and they're ethical, you're probably not going to get much money off. My dealership's infamous saying, the guy that sits next to me, if $100 or $200 meant to do business, I'll figure it out. $500, $1,000, it's not going to happen. And if you're seeing those big discounts and big rebates off of cars up from the get-go, then there's not going to be much out there. If you're looking on Car Gurus and you're seeing that they're a good price, and the good thing I love about Car Gurus is it's full transparency. They tell you how long the dealership has had the car, you know, what price markets that they've done, they've dropped them and stuff like that. And they show you what the, if it's a good price or a bad price, they show you the Carfax, they show you everything about it. And when you see all those stuff adding up and being positive, then there's not going to be much room to negotiate. The unethical dealers, the old school dealers, there's a lot of room to negotiate on those. If you start seeing those ripoff stickers on their cars, there's a lot of room to negotiate. But the good dealerships like me, again, you got to look at DealerRater.com. You got to look at Cars.com. You got to look at, you know, Google reviews, Yelp. It really depends. Don't look at Yelp in our area. Our Yelp reviews suck.
Who uses Yelp?
See, but we don't use around. We don't use Yelp around here. Restaurants, really, but. People in the Northeast, Yelp does everything. I sold a guy a used Camaro 2 years ago, 3 years ago, up in upstate New York, and he looked at our Yelp reviews, and he wasn't going to call us. And then he saw one Yelp review about me, Googled my name, saw who I was, and called me. And that's the only reason we got that deal. But because he was looking at Yelp and wasn't gonna call us because of our bad Yelp reviews. Just Yelp's a horrible business. Yelp is horrible. And that's maybe talking bad about them. Yelp is a horrible business. They will take somebody like me who writes a really strong review about a good impression of a transactional process with someone. And then because I'm not in the Yelp system, or I don't make a lot of Yelp comments, or in, and then they squash my review so you can't see it and they don't count it towards their star rating. That is a bad process. And that's what I don't, that's why I don't use it, because I don't think that my review is going to be good. I had one of my customers like, hey, would you write me a Yelp review? And I did it because he's a customer of mine and because he's wrote me reviews, but my review got squashed. It just, it's hidden and it doesn't affect the star reviews. And that's bad business in my opinion. All right. So the question you had.
Okay. Somebody wanted to know if it was rude to ask for invoice, and let me find this, to ask for the invoice price. And then how do you know that the figure they give is actually invoice price?
I don't think it's rude to ask. I don't think it's necessary to ask, because there's so many places out on the internet that you can get invoice price on any car. Go to, I got 1300 cars in stock, 1600 cars in stock. Go pull any 1600 of them, go to True Car, and you can get invoice price on any one of them without asking. So,
basically the best thing to do, if you really want to know that the invoice price they give you is true, go to True Car or one of the other services.
Yeah, just Google how to get an invoice price, and it's going to tell you, and it's going to be truthful, and they tell you everything, and that's probably one of the best things to do. It's like, you know, I don't want to sit there and talk about how we're going to get away from dealerships or delete them or whatever. And I know a lot of people are like, in 10 years, dealerships are not going to be needed. It's not true. The dealerships are always going to be around, but the tactics that is used is going to be completely different on doing things. And that's why my channel will survive, because, okay, something I talked about 5 years ago may not be relevant anymore. And then we've changed things, right? Again, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about cars.com and Auto Trader and stuff like that. And that stuff just wasn't happening. People were still going in and searching the lot and walking the lot and looking at cars and stuff like that. So, you know, that stuff just doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. So somebody chimed in with, they found their 2018 Camaro 2SS about 900 miles away on cars.com. Says my insurance company recommended TrueCar.com, but I found they added zero value to the deal. Is TrueCar.com just like Cars.com? So basically, every one of those car gurus, they're all pretty much similar.
Yeah, same. they have their own models, because they're all individually owned by different companies or by different individuals or whatever. So that's why it's good to look at all of them and get a good gauge on the market. That's why I said earlier, when someone asked, you know, do dealers use Kelley Blue Book? We do, but we only use Kelley Blue Book because consumers look at that. We look at so much more stuff. We look at the live data that everything shows and whatnot. And, you know, that's what's important, is the live data. So you can kind of do that as well, but look at different resources to get the best information, so that way you can make a well-informed decision. That's the biggest thing, is just be well-informed.
Okay. And let's see. Somebody wants to know, when's the best time to buy a car?
It's a good question. It's always a good question. The best time to buy is when you're ready to buy. We talked about this, I think, on the first live stream that we did 3 weeks ago. Can you imagine? We've already been doing this for 3 episodes now. I love this. This is fun. Every time we've gotten off here, it's been like, I'm hype. I had so much fun talking with people and interacting with people and getting the questions.
But I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to do another Friday night.
Are we? Yeah, I see a lot of C8 questions in
there's
there.
There's a lot of C8 stuff coming through, which is very hard for the podcast time.
Yep, it is. Yep. Friday night, we can do Corvette Friday nights or something like that. So, but the question was when the best time was to buy a car. So it varies. It's not a set in stone. So I know everywhere out there, and they'll tell you go at the end of the month. That can be true in some cases, but there's some cases that dealerships have fast start bonuses from the manufacturer, and so they're discounting greater at the beginning of the month than they were at the end of the month. But then you get to the end of the month and the dealerships are like, oh crap, we're 5 short of our manufacturer goal, whatever, right? So they have to kind of work at it and hit that 5 goals. We just had that happen on Monday. We needed like a couple more or something, right? So we work hard throughout the whole entire month to get there. But there was 3 dealerships in the metro market area of Louisville that didn't hit their mark with the manufacturer. And I guarantee if somebody would have went to those dealerships, they may, depends on how far they're off. I don't know that information, but you know, if they're one or two off, they might've got a really good deal. I know we were one or two off from one of our numbers, and our finance manager was convinced to buy a car, and Ryan Bachman was like, I'll fix your trade in and, you know, I'll fix your lease turn in, cause he had a big dent in it. And, you know, he did a bunch of other stuff and, you know, he got a good deal because he was the last person in the building and they convinced him to buy a car on the last day of the month in the last minute, you know, cause we had no more customers there. So it just varies, but the best time to buy the car is when you're ready to buy. Typically speaking, January 1 to December 31st and 12 times throughout the year, on the first day and the last day of the month, the incentives and rebates and pricing is going to be within about $500. It's very, very characteristic. And it's very, very common to see that, the pricing is pretty set forth throughout the year. I had in 2005, I think was the first year that General Motors came out for employee pricing for everyone. The month before, I sold a brand new Hummer H2, and then the day before, I sold a brand new Hummer H2, last day of the month, last hour of the day, blah, blah, blah. Next day, employee pricing for everyone came out. Customer calls me up, mad, right? I want that pricing. I got screwed, blah, blah, blah. So let me put a pencil to it and see what happens. Yesterday's pricing was $500 cheaper than the employee pricing for everyone. So it's just what happens. That's 2005. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. It's all very characteristic on pricing and stuff like that. So like I said, best time to buy is when you're ready to buy.
And I think you kind of already hit on this. Somebody asked, is there a better time of the month to buy? But yeah, you kind of hit on that, being just depends on what the dealership has going on.
Yeah.
As to what's going to work best. So basically, you know, if you know you want to buy in the month of February, then, you know, start looking, start talking to dealerships and just choose what part of the month you want to buy it in.
Yep. So, I just had something come to mind. I can't remember what I thought. I should have wrote it down. I was reading comments over here, but, what was it? Gosh, dang, it was something about buying and whatnot, but oh well, I lost it. On to the next one. You should have wrote my thought down so I wouldn't have forgot it.
You know, if I could actually read your mind, I probably would have. But
you can't read my mind.
You know, I'm trying to go through all these things and weed out questions and stuff. Somebody wants to know, how does trade-in work on a limited production car? So let's talk a little bit about that.
A limited production car trade-in, let's use our Grand Prix, a Grand Prix GXP, right? There are not too many V8 Grand Prix out there. Let's use something more modern. Well, I'll use that. I got a more modern car. So limited doesn't always mean that that's good. But let's go to this. Let's go to the Chevy SS. We're talking the four-door, 400 horsepower car. That thing's going to hold its value. It's a rocket. That we should have sold a million of those cars. We shouldn't have got rid of Holden in Australia either. But for whatever reason, they didn't sell. You know, the Chevy SS car, love that car. The G8 car, love that car. But they just didn't sell for whatever reason. And it's sad. It is sad to see Holden gone in Australia. But that car is a limited production car and it's going to hold its value. A limited, you know, kind of like a limited, like all blackout edition Silverado or a limited edition.
Midnight edition.
Yeah. The midnight. Yeah. Blackout. The midnight edition vehicles. Those are limited, but it's not that big. Let's look at a SS1LE car, right? Those are limited cars. Camaro SS1LE, 2-in-1 SS. Those are going to bring a little bit more money, but not a ton. I mean, you know, it's got to be the right buyer, but limited can be. So I guess that's the point I've just made, is a limited can be more value, but at the same time, just because it says limited or there wasn't a lot sold doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, at one time, a PT Cruiser was being sold for $10,000 over MSRP. Just remember that.
A PT Cruiser.
With the wood grain side panels. Remember those?
Yeah. I always liked the Prowler.
Yeah, there's one. You know, Prowlers, you know, they still bring good money. We had a purple one a couple years ago. It's on video somewhere.
Okay.
Another question for us?
I'm trying to find them. It gets hard when I have to, you know, go through all these C8 questions.
Yeah, I know. We gotta keep these on topic. I'll answer a C8 question. I saw someone.
I found one.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah. I already told people on YouTube that we would answer C8 questions at the end of this podcast.
Okay.
So I will get to some of the C8 questions that are coming in. I promise. May not be everything.
Yeah. So we'll do, we're an hour, 10 minutes on the podcasting part. So we'll do one more negotiating car buying question and we'll end the podcast and we'll stay on live for the, live streamers. So someone asked, I can't find this question. He asked about his priority number on the, his order for the C8. So the priority number doesn't really mean anything. It's just basically, in the order of importance inside internally with the dealership. So like if someone put their order in August 15th and you put your order in August 16th, I'm going to have him a number one and you're a number two. So that's all it really means. It doesn't really mean anything. GM doesn't look at that. It's just internal accounting for the dealership. So do you find a good question to end this on?
I have a question from an independent car dealer.
Okay. Like they're an independent car dealer?
Yes.
Or somebody's asking about an independent car dealer. Okay.
It's as an independent used car dealer.
Wait, does everybody know what an independent car dealer is? That's the consumers need to know what an independent, a lot of times we call them indie dealers, INDI. So an independent car dealer is a dealership that is not got a manufacturer behind it. So like we're a franchise dealer, we're a Chevrolet store. So a dealership, ABC Motors, like if I bought a used car lot today, I would be an independent dealer. So whatever I name it, Davenport Autos, I would be an independent dealer because I do not have a new car manufacturer. So typically your used car dealers they're always used car dealers. They're an independent dealership. So you, independent dealerships got a question? Ask away.
Well, yes, but
I love that a dealer's on here asking a question because it's really important because this stuff, I'm ranting again here, but this stuff is not, I'm not bashing dealers. I'm helping dealers. I'm helping consumers. And I love when like some people are negative, like some people I'm talking about dealers, when they're negative towards me, they're missing the message. They're missing the point. Consumers are looking for this information and consumers are wanting to know how to do the right things. Well, guess what, dealers? I'm putting this information out there. You seeing how well my YouTube channel works. You're going to see how well this podcasting works. And if you listen to me, you can go out to the consumer and do exactly what I'm doing and be successful. So I love that the independent dealer is here.
But first, we have this pink, I guess that's Super Chat. I mean, all the Super Chats I've seen have been green.
Yeah, that's just, he doesn't have a question. He just wanted to give me some cash. Larry, thank you so much. That's awesome, dude. I appreciate that.
He did mention that because of your content, he ordered a C8 last summer with his dealer, yes, and it should be going to production soon.
GM, are you listening? GM, are you listening? Because of me, he bought a car, not from me. That's what I don't think, I'm going to rant. I don't think that's what GM understands, that I'm bringing a lot of great information. So there's some haters out there that are distracting some higher ups and they're only seeing the negative things and they're not seeing all the positive things. So I don't want to do anything negative for GM. I love GM. I love Chevy. I love the brand. I don't need to sell cars anymore. I want to do YouTube full time, but you know what? I love selling cars and I continue to want to sell cars. And some days it's really hard when I get talked to, not talked to negatively, but you know, the owner of my company says, yeah, we received 10 phone calls because people are hating that you did this or you did that, or, you know, GM employees are doing stupid stuff. I don't want to do negative things. Everything that I do on my channel, everything I do here is positive and it's reinforcement and it's great for everybody who's involved.
Okay. So back to our independent car dealer. Okay. As an independent used car dealer, the general public has no clue what costs are involved in buying a used car at the auction, auction fees, transportation costs, refurbishing, etc. That's just getting the car ready for the lot. We then have to stand behind them with a warranty, advertising, dealer floor plans, dealership licensing, insurances on the building liability, and then because we're in business, we need to make a profit. So Knowledge of the market sometimes dictates your selling price and therefore your potential profit. I had to go through all that.
No, it's good. I understand it.
The question is, how do you politely explain this to your customer who is trying to lowball you?
That's a great comment. I love that. That's that right there, guys. This is an extremely important question that could be great for everybody, for the dealership side and for the consumer side. And here's how I answer this to the question. And I've already answered the question the entire time. We have to price our vehicles based off of the information that we push on the internet that you may never contact us. I may never see that you're shopping for a car. So if I've got the car in stock in inventory and you're contacting me because you want my car and because you know that it's a good deal, it's a fair price, it's the best deal. I use good deal, even though I told everybody what I thought about good deal. I still use a good deal term with customers, but that's how I handle it. It's like, you called me for a reason in a nutshell, but I'm just straightforward with them. And believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, let's say you bat 50% as a dealer, that you talk to 100 people and 50 of them, you tell that, they're like, okay. And they give you more opportunity to buy the car or to sell the car to them. And they want to buy the car. But yeah, absolutely. You know, you just have to be straightforward, straight, transparent. In the chat system right now, if you want a dealership to be transparent with you, put a thumbs up in the chat. Not even a thumbs up on the video, a thumbs up in the chat. If you just want a dealership to be transparent in the way they do things, put a thumbs up. You're going to see these thumbs up. There's 367 people watching right now. We've had over 4,000 people on here. These thumbs up are going to go crazy because everybody wants to be transparent. Everybody just wants us to tell people exactly the way it is. And that's what's important. And just telling people is being straightforward with them. And that's what I do. I don't beat around the bush. And I always tell them, like, listen, I'm not saying anything to be rude or negative or mean to you. I'm just telling you the way it is. There ain't no negotiating. I've got my best price out there. There's a reason you called me. And they're like, yep. They always agree with me. And that's what I love about the car business, is because when you can show that you're transparent, you can show that you're honest, you can show that you're ethical, they'll close every single time, to consumers and to dealers. I don't hide anything. I don't do anything crazy like that. I'm not hiding the profit that I make. I'm not hiding anything. I'm just telling it. And that was one question I had. I didn't answer this. I'm just going to let that go for another day. So
yep, you said we were done.
Yep, we were. So guys, here we're closing the podcast portion of this live stream. And I just want to appreciate everybody. If you're listening to the podcast every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on the YouTube channel, Chevy Dude, we're here doing this live. We're on for about 15 minutes prior to the podcast, and we're on for another 15, 20 minutes after the podcast live stream. And then every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. On your favorite podcasting platform, this audio will be there so you can log in, put your RSS feed in there and get it. So guys, as always, thanks again for watching. Have a fantastic day and drive safely.
Beyond the Showroom is on the socials. Follow along on Twitter at Chevy Dude. Join the Beyond the Showroom Facebook group by searching Beyond the Showroom. Subscribe to the Chevy Dude YouTube channel. And until next time, have a great day and drive safely.